From a loft high above the back of the sanctuary in the old stone church overlooking the St. Lawrence River at St. Regis Village, every Sunday morning a small group of singers fills the air with the uplifting sounds of traditional Catholic hymns. Instead of English lyrics, more common to churches along the northern border of New York State, the words are from the Mohawk language, and the voices are full of energy and spirit. According to a history of the St. Regis Catholic Church, recently written by Rosemary and Darren Bonaparte, Mohawk has always been the language of worship in this parish, even before Vatican II. Choir member Bernice Lazor.
When the Jesuits came, they started to work with our language, and they translated a lot of into phonetical, so they could understand our language. And they started working with the hymns, and they translated the hymns into what they thought was our language. It was all the Gregorian chant at that time, the singing in a church, and it was in Latin. Then our people started to pick it up and learn it with Mohawk, our language.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Like many other Catholic churches, the sanctuary at St. Regis is filled with symbols of the faith. Alongside statues of the Virgin Mary and a crucifix, there is a colorful medicine wheel, a statue of the revered 18th century Mohawk woman, Getalie Tekakwitha, and hand-carved wooden plaques representing the traditional Iroquois clans. Welcome to Meet the Masters. I'm Kathleen Fitzgerald, your host for this series of conversations with traditional artists from the northern region of New York State, the North Country. Each individual or community group in the series has been acknowledged as masters of their art by Traditional Arts in Upstate New York, an organization dedicated to the preservation and presentation of local folk culture. All these artists have been honored with the North Country Heritage Award and are well-known institutions in their own corners of the region, admired and respected for who they are and what they do. According to folklore scholar Don Yoder, many people engage in some aspects of folk religion. Such behaviors as carrying lucky charms, knocking on wood, or cursing things that offend you point back to a supernaturalism common in medieval times. For modern Roman Catholics, practices like crossing oneself while passing a church or placing homemade shrines on the lawn are examples of folk religion. Not officially prescribed by church doctrine or taught in catechism classes, they are, however, symbolic of personal faith and respect. Sometimes, too, practices blend religious beliefs with specific cultural traditions of one's ethnic history. In the early 1750s, French priests established a Roman Catholic mission to the Iroquois at the junction of the St. Regis and St. Lawrence Rivers. 250 years later, Catholics on the Mohawk Reservation at Akwesasne still practice the faith and observe a number of customs that mingle the Native and Christian heritage. Local cemeteries are filled with wooden crosses marked with traditional Mohawk names and clan symbols. Christian weddings are celebrated with feasts of traditional wedding hash and strawberry wedding cakes. And the choir at St. Regis Church sings ancient Christian music in their native language.
My name is Carol LaFrance Ross. I just love singing the hymns and listening to the words and what they mean, and it's really beautiful. I just started going when I returned home in 1988 and started going to church and funerals with my mom, and joined the choir, which she was the head of, and she taught the younger ones, Joyce Sherrow and her daughters, Teresa and Agnes, and Sally Adams and Mildred Sunday. they all sing in the choir, and we still get together when we can.
Well, my name is Mary Hearn, and my mother was Josephine Lazor. She used to sing in the choir too, so I used to go with her here and there to the wakes, and I picked up a lot. So I've been going ever since.
I'm Charlotte Francis, St. Regis, Quebec. My mother was Susan, and I have a brother, Mike, and my sister, Annie. We were all in the choir. So maybe I never got too good at it, but I followed them.
I don't know why you followed me.
Led in the Past by Carol Ross's mother, Harriet LaFrance, Charlotte Francis, and Mary Hearn, the choir now includes about 10 or 12 singers of various ages, including regulars Joyce Sharrow, Florence Cook, Agnes Sharrow, and others. Teresa Sharrow accompanies the choir on the organ. As long as local people can remember, music has been a big part of weekly services at St. Regis Church. For the 10 o'clock Mass each Sunday morning, all the hymns are sung in Mohawk, with the large congregation led by the choir. Charlotte Francis says there are other occasions for singing, like the Stations of the Cross on Good Friday or on Easter, and for older feast days that are no longer practiced.
Ascension Day and Pentecost and Corpus Christi. They used to sing right through the village. Well, you've been in it.
Remember that when I was little. Yeah. It's a lot of that is not done anymore.
Especially when the weather is bad, so right. We don't go out. Corpus Christi and St. John the Baptist.
Right. All of those are gone. Assumption, remember? Mm-hmm. With all the young girls that carried the statue around the village.
Mm-hmm.
It's not together. It's not as... It was the church, and everybody went to the church, and everything revolved around the church.
Bernice Lazor.
The Corpus Christi procession was done by clans, the wolf, turtle, and bear. Clan made their own little altars. They were in different corners. You went so far, you know, maybe a block, and then they had one altar set up, and it would be right around the village. You've seen our village in St. Regis around the church. Well, it's like a little circle. And they would go to one corner, and then that's where they would have one altar, and then you would go to another corner, maybe another block or half a block, and they have another altar. And then the women of that clan would decorate. They would go, I guess, the day before and start decorating. It was a big deal, yeah. And everybody dressed up. I remember, you know, we all had to dress up, but it was a long walk. No, it wasn't paved then. It was dirt road and big stones on road, and you had to walk there. Sometimes you had to kneel down, but that's what we had to do. So that was keeping our culture and our tradition into the, you know, celebration of the church.
In the last generation or two, some of the elaborate religious celebrations have been scaled back or even abandoned at St. Regis Church. There are, however, plenty of other occasions each year that the choir is asked to perform with special music.
Weddings, yes.
Weddings.
There's some really pretty songs for weddings, for when babies are buried. They're not
shorter.
As sad, shorter, and they're the words are all about angels, and they're just not as sad.
Well, years ago too, we used to sing when somebody's sick.
Oh, you did?
Yes, that's that hymn I was telling you about your grandmother. She'll sing. She memorized all that.
While funerals and customs associated with death have changed significantly in modern American life, for many Akwesasne Mohawks, death is still a time steeped in tradition. Wakes are particularly a time for music and prayers, and Bernice Lazor says the choir is often asked to come to the funeral home or family home to lead the mourning.
Are people still practice and believe in having singing done at wakes? Some appreciate the Mohawk singing because, you know, if their parents or grandparents are laid out and they know that they like this, so they would bring us in. And we'll go in and we start with prayers, and then we start singing. And it takes about 20 minutes to half an hour, sometimes longer, depending if, you know, sometimes we get done with the whole thing and they want to hear more hymns, so we just do a couple more ordinary hymns. sometimes the deceased person had a favorite hymn or the family has a favorite hymn, so they request it, and we'll keep singing.
For some Mohawks, like many other groups who have long-standing traditions, modern life threatens the future of their culture. In a society so rich in oral traditions, much depends on maintaining the native language. The stories, beliefs, and songs have subtleties of meaning that fail to translate well into other languages. For the choir members over 50 years of age, losing fluency in the Mohawk tongue means a great deal. Carol Ross.
I think a day is coming soon, like my mom said, where we may have a Mohawk choir, but they'll be singing it phonically. The language is going, it's dying. I know very, very few children under the age of 10 who can speak Mohawk, who can talk to me like I talk to these ladies in Mohawk. A conversation only in Mohawk. That's my idea of fluency.
When my grandparents were young, everybody sang in church. Everybody had a hymn book. Every house had a hymn book. You know, like I have some of my, this is my grandmother's hymn book that's really old. She always had that. And I noticed when we moved here, there was no farmhouse here in the front. And there was a lot of hymn books in the house from my husband's grandmother and his mother and his father. All had hymn books. Everybody had their own hymn books. So everybody kind of knew and learned. It was part of our life, I guess.
I think it's because it was the wisdom of way back when, which some people seem to overlook, that we were allowed to be us and still be practicing Catholics. I just think it was so close to the spirituality of the natives is so close. I just think it was an easy step for the Jesuits to convert. I don't know, maybe it wasn't. That's my opinion, totally.
The clash of cultures between European Christians and Native Americans has been well documented. For some traditionalists, the early establishment of mission churches like that at St. Regis meant the beginning of the end of traditional religion for local Mohawks. For devout Catholics, however, there is comfort in reconciling the two. Bernice Lazor, whose brother is a traditional chief, is a leader of women's groups in the church, including the choir.
I have no problem. I am the only Catholic in my family. When I was a little girl, my grandfather was the one that always took me to church. Every Sunday, my grandfather, and we lived on St. Regis Island. We lived on an island right across from the church. And we'd come every Sunday. I would get dressed up. My mother would dress me up, and my grandfather and I would go to church. And I'd always sit with him, and he sang hymns, like, you know, and I would always sit next to his sister, who is Alma's mother, Alma Ransom's mother. That was my grandfather's sister. She sang in a choir, so I was always following her around, sitting next to her, listening, learning, you know. And his cousin on Cornwall Island, she started talking to him about the traditional religion. And he started going over there. And then finally he joined the traditional people and stopped going to church. So he just looked at me and he said, you can stay in church. He says, but don't ever forget who you are. He says, you were Indian first. You were born an Indian before you became a Christian. He says, you learn about yourself. You learn about your culture. You speak your language. Learn your sounds. He said, but be a good Christian if you want to be a Christian. That's what he told me. So he didn't say, you know, leave the church and come with us. The church is no good for you. He never said that to me. And then I would go to the ceremonies with my mother and my brothers. whenever there was a ceremony, I would go. So I learned both. And whenever I'm comfortable with a ceremony that's going on, I go. Like Met Winter, I don't miss Met Winter. Every year I'm there. It's four or five days. I go. All those 4 or 5 days, I'll take time off from work, and I just participate in that Met Winter ceremony. This year I went to the strawberry ceremony. And they have quite a few ceremonies that go on during the year. And I Indian dance, and I can sing the songs, and I've done everything my grandfather told me to do, you know. So I said, it doesn't bother me, because like I said, I pray twice. I pray in a traditional way, I pray in a church way, and I same with the singing. I'll sing in English, and I'll sing in Mohawk. I pray in Indian, I pray in English, so everything I do twice.